Right to go, Ben. Hello, friend. And Maranatha, the Lord's coming draweth nigh. And we rejoice in that glorious truth and that glorious fact. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven, and giveth life unto the world. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that believeth on me shall never hunger, and he that believeth in me, I will satisfy his thirst. That's what the Lord tells us there in the Gospel of John, chapter 6. And I trust, beloved, that you have put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, that you have tasted and seen that the Lord is good. The Lord said, He that cometh to me shall never hunger. The Lord will satisfy that hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. God will fill that vacuum, that emptiness within the human spirit. And that's where that vacuum is, beloved. It's within your spirit. Now, we're talking about man being a trichotomy. That is, man has three parts. He has a spirit, he has a soul, and he has a body. We've seen that. Man is made in the likeness and image of God, Genesis 1, 26 and 27. God made man in his image and in his likeness. And 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 23 states, man's spirit, soul, and body. It speaks of the whole man, W-H-O-L-E, the whole man being spirit, soul, and body. Now, last time we were talking about the soul, which relates to others. The spirit relates to the spirit world. That part of us relates to the spirit world. That part of us has to do with our worshiping the Lord God, our obeying and worshiping evil spirits. And that part of man is the part that is possessed and can be possessed by demon spirits. But if we're possessed by the Holy Spirit, then demon spirits cannot enter into that part of our life. Then the soul of man relates to others. It's what people know us as. It's our personality, our temperament traits. It has to do with the mind, the thinking part of the brain, the emotions, which have to do with our feelings, and our will, that part with which we make choices and decisions. And it's the part of us that's like God the Father. Again, in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 6, verse 35 and 36, we read these words concerning our Heavenly Father. But love your enemies, and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great, and ye shall be called the children of the Highest. The children of the Highest, the children of God the Father. For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. We see the emotions that God the Father has, the emotions of love. We talked about that last time in Matthew chapter 5. And God so loved the world, John 3:16 tells us, God the Father so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And then we now think about the third part of man, and this is the part that man puts the most emphasis on. God puts the emphasis on the spiritual part of man. We're told over in the book of 1 Samuel that man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. And so the Lord is interested in the spiritual condition of man. That's where he looks when he sees you and me. But we look on the outward appearance. And everything about us is putting the emphasis on the physical part of man, the body. This is the part of man that relates to the environment. The part of man that relates to heat and cold and our comfort. It is the physiological part of man, that part that has to do with the physical. It is conscious of the world. This is where our world consciousness dwells, within the physical part of man. our God consciousness, that part of man that knows there's some power in the universe greater than himself. That's the spiritual part of man. But our world consciousness has to do with our physical senses. Remember, man contains, our body, the body contains the soul and the spirit. It's the house, the earth suit, we might call it. The earth suit for the soul and the spirit. And it houses the five different senses of the body. The sight, the hearing, the smell, the taste, the touch. All of these five senses have to do with our physical body. And in regards to the Trinity, it is a picture and a type and relates to the Lord Jesus Christ. In Colossians, if you'll go to the book of Colossians, chapter 2, and verse 9, we read concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's begin with verse 6. As ye therefore receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in Christ, and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him, in Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Now I want you to notice that scripture. That's very important. In Christ dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. What does that mean? That means that Christ is the revelation of God the Father in physical form. He is the revelation of God the Holy Spirit in physical form. In Christ dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, physically. He is the revelation of the Father and the Holy Spirit in physical form. We're told in John chapter 4 that God is a spirit, and they that worship him, Jesus said, must worship him in spirit and in truth. But Jesus Christ is the manifestation of God the Father in physical form. We're told also in John that Christ has led forth the Trinity in physical form, God the Father in physical form. It says, no man hath seen God at any time. And then it tells us that Christ has manifested him, or revealed God the Father to man. And so that's why Jesus came and took upon himself a physical body, so he could walk among us. I remember when I was a kid, I grew up out in West Texas, one of the states here in the United States. And I used to go barefooted, and in the hot summer time, I would walk up to what we had were red ant beds. They were ants that were reddish in color, and as I would walk up to them, the ants would scurry around because of the vibration of my feet as I stepped up to them. And so I would say to them, it's all right, ants, I'm not going to hurt you, I'm not going to do you any harm. But to the ants, I sounded like thunder. They couldn't understand what I was saying, because I was so much larger than they were, it scared and frightened them. The only way that I could have communicated with the ants was if I could have taken on the form of an ant and become an ant myself, and then I could have communicated with them. And that's exactly what Almighty God did. God took upon himself the form of human flesh, and here walked among us, came down to earth and walked among us. In 1 Timothy 3:16 we read, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. Now previously we were speaking about another of the mystery of God, which was the revelation of Christ to mankind. That was hidden since the foundation of the world, so that Satan didn't realize that he was being used by God when he put the Lord Jesus Christ to death for our sins. That was a part of God's plan for the redemption of mankind. You see, beloved, God's all-powerful and almighty. He can even get glory from the devil. And don't you know that frustrates Satan when God gets glory and honor from his actions? But here in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, without controversy, without argument, great is the mystery of godliness. There's a lot of people that struggle with the truth of the Trinity. They don't understand how God can be one, manifested and revealed as God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, three distinct personalities, and yet one. It's a mystery, beloved. It's a mystery. These are things that have to be accepted by faith. And that's why we're told in the Scriptures four times, without faith. Without faith, we cannot please God. The just shall live by faith. Four times, the just shall live by faith. That's the way we live. We who put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, we walk by faith. We walk in obedience to the Lord by faith. And so great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. There it is, beloved. God was manifest in the flesh. God the Father revealed himself through the Lord Jesus Christ. God the Holy Spirit revealed himself through the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus came to teach us about God the Father. He came to teach us about the Holy Spirit. There's so much that we would not have known about the eternal God had Jesus not come to earth. But because he came to earth, took on physical form, walked among us, we could understand his communication. We could understand his teaching us about God the Father and about the Holy Spirit of God. And we could understand then the love of God as Christ Jesus died on that old rugged cross for your sins and for mine. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. Oh, this wonderful truth about our Lord Jesus Christ. He who was empowered by the Holy Spirit, who came down from heaven at his baptism and lit upon him in the form of a dove, and God the Father spoke and said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And so Jesus revealed God the Father to us. He revealed the Holy Spirit to us, and he purchased our redemption by dying on the cross for us. Till next time, goodbye.